Today's reading is from Matthew 18, and that's on page 986 in your blue Bible. And we're going to read verses 21 through to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, and he cancelled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and then begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Is that going to... Is that working? Yeah, that sounds okay. That's good. Can I get back here? So please do keep your Bibles open on that page. I think it's 968 as we think about this parable and consider forgiveness together. And I'm really conscious that for some of you this is going to be a hard topic, and it's got the potential to open up old wounds in a way that isn't helpful. Because forgiveness is in equal measure exceedingly hard, but also profoundly liberating. And it's really complex. And so I think we should pray and ask God to help us as we do that together. So let's pray. Father God, we just so much want to ask for your help as we come to this passage and as we think about forgiveness together. And we ask so much, Holy Spirit, that you would draw out only that which is healing and will make us whole. And we are those who seek your lordship in our lives. And so we do ask that you would minister to us in your great power and in your goodness. And I ask that you would use my words for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the film... Is this okay, the sound? Is it all right? You can hear me, yeah. Now, the film, which was nominated for 7 awards at this year's Oscars and won 2 of them, as well as winning 5 BAFTAs and 4 at the Golden Globe Awards, was... And I feel like at this point I should have Abby's robe on and say it. Does anyone know? Does anyone know what the film was? It was the film 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Has anyone seen that film? Well, I'm not sure if I want to recommend it to you. I do recommend it with some hesitation because it's brutal. But it is in equal measure really powerful. And it addresses the issue of forgiveness and of justice and how we cope when both seem impossible. Now, the main character in this film is Mildred Hayes, and she's a mother of a teenage daughter who's been brutally murdered. And when we first see Mildred, her life is this shell-like carrier for a mass of anger and pain and hopelessness. And she's stifled, she's almost suffocating in her powerlessness to manage the poison which is just boiling within her. Because there's been no arrest, no justice, and the town folk want her to move on. They want her to drop it. They want her to be normal. And truth be told, as an audience, we want her to do that too. We want a story of hope. We want a story of transformation. We do not want one of despair. And there is just one scene where for a few minutes, we think that that might be a possibility. Because Mildred is sitting by these billboards when a young deer appears and it comes quite close to her. And she sees its beauty and its fragility and its kind of otherworldly quality. And it's in such contrast to the hate that is in her and that is all around her. And for some reason, the deer trusts her, has chosen to come to her. And in this grace-filled moment, she weeps. And the scene is really bittersweet because it points to something that she's lost. It's a way of hope, of love, a time without hope, a time without hate, but a time that now seems impossible to return to. Now, beginning with this film is perhaps you're thinking, this is a really extreme way, Sarah, into thinking about forgiveness. But I hope by starting here at this place, we won't be tempted, well, I won't be tempted to discard the complexity that is needed when we talk about forgiveness. See, forgiveness is something that God is wonderfully and faithfully good at, and we're not. And it's a hard thing. And each of us, in our own way and with our own hurts, will struggle with it. But forgiveness is a mark of God's kingdom because God is a God who is compassionate and loving, and his kingdom is one of love, not hate. Now, Jesus gives us a picture in the parable that Rebecca read to us of a king who is owed so much by his servant. It's an amount that is impossible to pay back. One commentator described it as 1,000 times the annual revenue of Galilee, Judea and Samaria put together. I'm not sure if that is true, but certainly it's that concept that it's far too big for one person ever, ever, ever to pay back. And the consequences for not paying it back are severe. And so the servant pleads with the king and he cancels the debt just like that. It's a reminder that we are loved by a God who forgives us when we say sorry and he forgives us again and again, unconditionally loving us, saying, come back to me. Your sin is gone. You are free. You're free from all guilt and all shame. I hope that you know and have experienced that liberation of God's forgiveness in your life, that there is absolutely nothing in the whole of creation that can separate us from his love in Christ Jesus. We are each here forgiven people. And yet we can't escape from the fact that we find it really hard to be like him. Peter's question to Jesus that we heard is kind of naive. But it's really honest. How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Maybe 7? The rabbis apparently recommended 3. So 7, as Joy mentioned, is kind of a perfect number. Surely he was being generous. No, as we've heard, says Jesus, how about 70 times 7? In other words, as we were told by a young child earlier on, far too many to count. Is you're really not understanding forgiveness if you're counting. You're just postponing that time when you can seek revenge. Now, during the England-Croatia game on Wednesday, I've really got into football. It's been fascinating. It's this new experience for me. and again, the England captain, Harry Kane, got knocked down. Sometimes deliberately, sometimes by mistake, sometimes because of intense marking. Over again, he was down on the pitch, down again, knocked here, knocked there, knocked everywhere. But he kept his cool, amazingly. He got up, refocused on the match, which we wanted him to do, and it was really inspirational. And of course, that wasn't the case, as Dan Bright told me during the week when I was having my lessons about football, that in 1998, when David Beckham apparently was captain, he also got knocked down. But he reacted really differently to Kane. He suddenly snapped and he kicked Diego Simeone. And for this, of course, some of you know, he received a red card and effectively ended England's World Cup chances. Now, while Beckham was vilified, his response, rather than Harry Kane's response, is the one that is more familiar. I don't know about you, if you find that too in your life, but often when we hold out and we resist the need to address a hurt and forgive someone, when we don't do that, it doesn't go away. But it builds, and it builds, and sometimes with the addition of another hurt, until, snap, there's an explosion of sort, which is manifested in different ways, not always just a kick. The small debt owed to the servant in the parable was nothing compared to the debt that had been cancelled by the king. Yet the fact it hadn't been paid back had festered in that servant's heart. And Jesus describes him as grabbing the debtor and wanting to choke him to death. And we're appalled by his behaviour, aren't we, as the servants are in the story, and they go and tell the master, which is a bit like a snitch. But anyway, until we realise it's really a depiction of ourselves. How Jesus is so clever, and you go, oh, he's so bad, and you go, oh yeah, that's really me. We who are those who are generously forgiven cannot, do not readily forgive. It's a stark and powerful lesson. We are called to forgive others again and again. Yet what is not addressed in this story is what forgiving someone means. And it's not addressed because it's already been described in the previous verses. And this is really important because forgiving someone doesn't mean pretending what needs forgiveness didn't really happen or didn't really matter. So theologian Tom Wright really helpfully puts it. He says, if it didn't happen and it didn't matter, then we're not talking about forgiveness. We're talking about a misunderstanding. And sometimes, of course, that is really all that is going on in our families or in our church family. You know, a text or a message is misinterpreted. Something was said that really was not meant at all. And so often we are easily offended when no slight was meant at all. No, forgiving is different. Forgiving someone means something did happen and it does matter. And there is no point just papering over the hurt and pretending it isn't there. In the previous verses, which you can have a read of later, it's 15, verses 15 to 17, Jesus says what we need to do. We don't forget, we don't ignore, we don't avoid it. We address it. And he outlines in those verses a means of doing this. And here, this teaching is in a church family context. And it starts from an initial one-to-one meeting with the person who's at fault. And then if that does not resolve it, it involves others in additional steps with increasing severity. But at the heart of this approach, as Sheila prayed for us, is a desire for reconciliation and not for revenge. Now, there are, of course, sometimes in life terrible situations when this approach is not possible. When the person at fault is a stranger, or they have died, or seeing them is an impossibility. And those are areas that are so much harder to address. And of course, there are situations when external authorities do need to be involved. But when we read this parable out of context, which so often happens, it makes forgiveness seem unjust. But what are we to make of that last verse, verse 35? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. How do we reconcile this verse with the gospel's message of God's love? Surely to tell someone who has been hurt that they must forgive their offender or God will not forgive them is hurtful and harmful. These are Jesus' words, so we can't dismiss them. But I think it's helpful to see them in a slightly different way. It goes back to the character Mildred Hayes in the film we began with. She had closed her heart. She was neither able to forgive nor, more crucially, to receive love and forgiveness herself. She was so filled to the brim with a suffocating poison that there was no room left for anything else, least of all love and forgiveness. And I think it's fair to say she didn't want there to be. Her heart had been closed. And it goes back to the story of the prodigal son. It was so good that we didn't have the words up because we sang that additional song about running into the arms of God. You see, that in that story, the father is waiting there. He is loving. He is searching for his child, for the one he loves beyond measure. His love and forgiveness is never withheld. And yet, the son here is over in that far-off country who wanted him dead. Can't receive that love. Can't fall into those open arms until he decides to go home. And yet when he does make that one first foot towards home, then the father sees him. He sees him in the distance and he runs. He grabs his dress, as it were, his skirts and stuff, whatever they were wearing. Tunics, thank you. And he runs. His heart is bursting because he wants to meet his beloved child and he wants to bring him all the way home from that first step. Forgiveness may need to be done one step at a time, and yet it's whole-making and life-giving because it stems from love. It stems from a life that is lived under the lordship of the Lord Jesus because he is the one who is love itself. And then in his strength, with his guidance and the support of his people, which is us, it becomes something that is possible to do. Forgiveness is the most liberating gift our heart can both receive and can give. And when we become Christians, we surrender our lives to Jesus. And we are saying that he is Lord over all. Every part of us, including that bit inside of us, which involves forgiving those who have hurt us. As we end, I want to read these words from Jesus in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Shall we pray together? Let's just wait upon the Lord for a moment. Allow his Spirit to work. Oh, Jesus, come. Perhaps there is someone who you've not been able to forgive. Perhaps the hurt is too big. It's too deep. And so in the silence in your heart, if you are able to and you want to, perhaps you want to tell God their name or tell God the name of the organization if it's an organization. And as you do that, know God's unconditional love for you. His arms open wide. And allow yourself to receive his overflowing love. Allow him to flood your heart. goodness. We ask Holy Spirit for you to come. Gentle, loving Lord Jesus, we want to bring to you our burdens, our hurts, those areas unresolved in our lives. And we ask, Lord Jesus, as our Lord, that you would help us to learn to forgive. Amen.